This is Peter Maloney with Platts Global Power Report. We're at the 23rd annual Global Power Markets Conference in Las Vegas, and I'm pleased to have with us Jim Miller, the CEO, President, and Chairman of PPL Corp. Jim, PPL is in an interesting position with their fuel mix. They have about mirrors the United States generation mix, 50% coal, 20 to 30% of nuclear power, a big slug of gas. So it's very similar. But as we were discussing this morning, earlier in our panel discussion, there's what we call a baseload gap, where coal plants aren't being built, gas is filling up for the next 10, 15 years, perhaps the power demands, but that's likely to push gas prices higher, so people are trying to figure out what to do. I think you're an advocate of nuclear power. Do you think that's going to take over, and in what time frame?
Peter, I think I'd put it this way. We believe that for PPL to grow our company, which is becoming very quickly a unregulated generation and trading into the wholesale market type business, we feel that from a generation perspective, nuclear is the way to go. For the reasons you stated, we see a tremendous amount of pressure, negative pressure on coal, even though we're 50% coal today, both environmentally and the issues pertaining to CO2. Legislation that we believe will ultimately be passed in the next administration. We feel that gas prices, all the fundamentals point to gas prices going up. I don't see anything in the fundamentals from a geopolitical sense or national mandate that would cause gas prices to go down. Renewables are an important part of generation going forward, but only a small piece. Then I think you step back and you ask yourself, you know, the important part of our company, the most important part is shareholder return. How do we generate maximum shareholder return? And as we move forward, our business demands that we trade, market and trade, at and above our asset level. And so growing the business, we can only grow so far, and we become balance sheet constrained with a given level of assets. So we must grow our assets. And then we step back and look at the fundamentals of what generation to add, and we feel nuclear is going to be a good sell in the future. We feel that the risks can be dealt with. Principally, the risks come in the form of commodity price risks and labor availability and productivity risks. But quite frankly, those risks are ones you face in any generation you build. So we continue to look for acquisition of new assets. We would buy new gas if it comes available. We'd like to buy existing or brownfield development versus greenfield, just from the time lag involved in greenfield development, but as well continuing to pursue the nuclear option.
Would the purchase of greenfield or a brownfield, would that be for a gas plant? Or
it would be for a gas plant, yes. Now, you know, I think we leave the door open because, as you can imagine, there's many different deals that can come down the road. We like to look at tolling arrangements. We've purchased portions of output from coal plants, some of the coal plants that got in the queue and were being constructed before this downturn in coal occurred. We will look at groups of options, groups of gas combined cycle. Obviously, we're not too interested in simple cycle these days. But we'll look at buying assets that are already built, taking tolling agreements, as I said, and or buying brownfield sites that we can find in late stages of development and then go ahead and build and bring online in a fairly fast time frame.
What about the prospects for, in terms of coal, IGCC, the integrated gasification combined cycle, of mitigating some of the effects?
We struggle to find a path to IGCC. The large bulk of our company, as I mentioned, is and will continue to be more and more on the unregulated revenue and profit side. IGCC brings to bear risks that, quite frankly, have not been dealt with in the industry. The technology risks and how they're apportioned, it's a significant risk. The cost is extremely high. And I think from the standpoint of moving the meter from the size of the plant that would be built, is not as attractive as, say, buying a group of combined cycle gas turbines that are placed appropriately within areas that we like to deal in the wholesale markets, or a 1,600 megawatt nuclear unit being brought to bear to the market. Those are real meter movers. But an IGCC plant in the 500 or 600 megawatt range, with the inherent risks that come along with it, the technology risks, the construction risks, I think those risks, when you weigh them against the risks of constructing and bringing commercial nuclear unit, although the numbers differ, you talk 10 billion, 4,000 a kilowatt for a nuclear unit or somewhere thereabouts, those risks in an IGCC plant are just not attractive to us at all.
That's sort of interesting. The IGCC could be more risky from a cost perspective than nuclear. Does that include in your calculations what the government's planning to do with guarantees for nuclear generation?
Well, yeah, I think that the government really, you know, we've said and continue to say that the construction of a nuclear facility for PPL, a unregulated supply business, depend on federal loan guarantees, depend on the ability to project finance the plant. If we were not able to project finance the plant, if we had to finance it on our own balance sheet, it would not be financially attractive to the shareholder. And that's just the pure and simple economics of 50-50 versus 80-20 project finance. But I think to the IGCC issue, one thing that we feel comfortable with in our choice in nuclear is the technology risk. We feel very comfortable with the technology, whereas with IGCC, that brings a very large technology risk.
Would you consider buying or acquiring a nuclear plant?
Certainly, in our nuclear approach, we said, one, we would not construct unless we obtain federal loan guarantees, and that's a pure financial issue. Secondly, we would not construct without joint venture partners. And so our intent is to, on our third unit, take a portion of that third unit for ourselves and have one or two other joint venture partners, and then go out and obtain a fractional share of perhaps one or two other nuclear units to apportion our risk in other facilities.
Interesting. What's your time frame? When do you think your first new nuclear plant might come online?
Well, as we currently see things today, Peter, we are working very hard to try to achieve a 2016 date. But I have to qualify that by saying it all depends on where we end up in the queue for the long lead components in the way of forgings. And so we like to say we would like to see the unit commercial sometime between 2016 and 2018.